Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I am back. I know I skipped a week. I was on the road traveling. I have a day job, so that keeps me busy. And sometimes, you know, it's the energy levels that dip down by the time you get to the weekend. So I just couldn't. So my apologies. Let me see if I can make it up to you with a great episode this week. As you know, we are continuing with the themes. January was about building a robust sales team. February was about LinkedIn and mastery of LinkedIn. In March, we're going to talk about culture code in sales teams. And there are multiple topics: creating a winning sales culture, team collaboration and communication, addressing burnout and maintaining a work-life balance, diversity and inclusion in sales teams. But let's start this week with a very fascinating conversation. You know, we've often heard about top performers. I wanted to talk about bottom performers, the low performers, or guys who are non-performing assets in a sales team. What do sales managers do, sales leaders do when you find a non-performer consistently unable to meet targets? Let's find out in this episode of Buzz Talk. Buzz Talk is a podcast about your life at work, where we talk about stuff that happens every day at work. Breaking down the mumbo jumbo, simplifying the complex. Think of it like the water cooler conversation that you always wanted to have, but never got the right answers. Think of the questions you asked, but got dodged away somewhere or the other. So Buzz Talk tries and attempts to answer the net of it, the underlying reality behind all the politically correct mumbo jumbo that you get to hear. And there are varied topics. We talk about people management, leadership, bosses, colleagues, stakeholders. We talk about business development, sales, marketing. And so this year, for those who are tuning in new, the tilt is towards sales, marketing, and ancillary functions. That doesn't mean that if you are not in sales, none of this will make sense to you. It will, because there are a lot of people management, conflict resolution, those kind of conversations built in, culture code conversations like the one we're going to have today, built in, which will resonate with you in your organizations. So sit back, relax, watch where you are walking. And if you're stuck in the traffic, consider this as your best company. Let's dive into this episode of Buzz Talk. For those who've been people managers for a long time, certainly have faced this situation where there are top performers, middle performers, and then there are the bottom performers. And the eternal debate, dilemma, is what to do with them. Do you ease them out? Do you put them on a harsh improvement plan? Do you turn them around? There are no right or wrong answers to this, because each situation is different. It's very difficult to generalize them. But these are the problems. So those who have not been a people manager, this episode will make you sit up and think that if you're this aspirational manager or people manager, I want to lead a team of 5 people, 50 people, whatever. This is one of the key skill sets, aspects that will sooner or later present itself as a situation to deal with, right? You'll have to address it, you have to tackle it. And I'll walk you through what are the various facets of it. Likewise, if you've been a seasoned manager for a very long time, this episode will give you some insights on, if you reflect back, what is it that you could have done differently? Are you doing anything differently now, or are you carrying age-old convictions into 2024 and beyond? So a lot of stuff for all the career stages that people are in. And if you are that individual contributor who is impacted and or branded or as factually reported as the bottom performer or the low end or the non-performer, what is it that you do? Do you fight it out? Do you exit? What is it that you do? So give you both sides of the story. So for the listeners, it's not like a unidimensional view that's only coming from the people manager's point of view. It'll also come from the impacted party's point of view. So first up, let's figure out from individual contributors' situation, and then we'll address the people manager's point of view. So here you find yourself. So what is the situation? The situation is that you've been with the organization for 2 years, 3 years, maybe more. And you've hit a patch where it started with a one-off miss over a week. It turned into a month. And before you realize, because time in corporate world passes really fast, before you realize, you find yourself being called into a meeting like, hey, I noticed that the numbers are, or the deliverables are not being met. Is there an issue? So first it starts with a general conversation, you know, occasional mention. Then over time it intensifies, and then there are more direct conversations, and then it begins to get documented, right? When people start writing an email, and then you are finally put on a plan, and then whatever happens after that. So that's the general situation. So if you find yourself in that situation or slipping into one, what is it that you can do? I think when I think back of myself as an individual contributor way back when, I often think that we all go through a bell curve. We all go through a very excitable phase when we take up a new role. Then we hit a plateau where, like, yeah, you've kind of hit the peak and you know how to work the system. And then comes a point when it reaches a part of boredom before it starts to slide downwards. And as much as you like to reinvent yourself and rework it out, but the external distractions are such that you find it exceedingly difficult to concentrate and regroup your mind. Very few people are able to break out of this, and most people choose to exit. Why does this happen? I think if you look at it very objectively, no job will forever be exciting. And I've shared this on Bus Talk multiple times. And for those who haven't heard the previous episodes, may want to tune in to www.busstalk.in. That's BASTALK.IN. Go check out season 1, 2, 3, 4. There'll be multiple reference to this point that I'm about to make. The point is that when we get to a situation on quiet drifting, which leads to quiet quitting, it basically says that we are not finding new ways to keep ourselves engaged, right? Think of the law of diminishing marginal utility. We will get tired of doing the same repetitive things over and over again. In fact, we live in a day and age that most of the repetitive tasks will get automated. So it is incumbent upon us to figure out ways and means to keep on searching that delta X that can only be done by you. Yeah, that's your unique ability. Because if you are doing repetitive tasks, and I know there are some roles that only warrant repetitive tasks and they will be replaced by automation sooner than later. But for the regular other sales folk, there are areas which you can develop, groom, grow. It's just that we don't know how. We get into this impasse, we get into this mental freeze, which is very difficult to break through. And sometimes when somebody is trying to help you, if that happens to be a manager or a supervisor, you do not take that feedback and you become defensive about it. And you, in fact, dislike it. You think people are pointing you, and you slowly, without knowing, slip into the victim mindset that, oh, the world is against me. I have been doing well. They've seen my performance before, but now suddenly I've become this bad kid. How is that? Right? What, wasn't I the one which was hired and celebrated and won the MVPs? What happened? And so they can't bear with me for another few months, and then I think I can still do it. And these are the conflicting thoughts that go on your mind. However, what really turns out is that the world moves so quickly in the age of instant gratification, low patience levels. There are multiple angles of conversation that happen above you, right? Above you, beside you, which you're kind of oblivious to. That people are talking, you can sense it, but you can't hear it. And so every other time that you meet your supervisor or manager, you think that you're still at that place where you're thinking, hey, look, I kind of got derailed for a bit for a you know, few weeks or months. Nothing to worry about, no alarms. And I will come back on track. But conveying this sentiment to someone superior becomes very difficult because they have come with a preset agenda, pre-mindset. I don't know if that's the right phrase there. Like, oh, I've already made up my mind and now this is what I'm going to deliver. But as it turns out, more often than not, it's the story begins with us, our introspection as an individual contributor. You've got to think through the fact that no job, whether it is this job or the other job that you're looking out for, will remain exciting forever. You will find a place and time where that same thing that was exciting is no longer exciting. And so what's the solution? The solution is not hop, skip and jump. The solution is not moving on to another role which offers you a 10 grand more or a 5 grand more there. Solution is to figure out what is it that you can do differently in your current role. Could it be that you want to change your region, territory, accounts? Maybe you want to become better certified and be a subject matter expert. Raise your level from level 100 to level 200 in the product or service that you're selling. So there are ways of growing. And that is largely to do with your own self-discipline, motivation. It can't always come from your manager, right? It's somewhere, or your L&D team or your HR team. It has to sometimes come from within, that I need to augment my skill sets. So that's one way of thinking about it. The second way is, of course, to be realistic about it, that, hey, has the performance really dipped? And why is it dipped, and what is it that I can do to up the ante? The answer always is sometimes the simplest one, right? If you keep doing or increasing the activity levels, the results will follow. More often than not, you will see when your activity levels have dipped. You know, you used to have 30 meetings, now you have 15, you used to have 40 this, and now you have 20. And so when you see this, and you don't need to share this with anybody, but be honest with yourself, right? When you do a self-reflection, introspection, you'll say, well, my activity levels are not providing me a platform to get lucky. And as it happens, right, when your mind is not in the right place, you're thinking, you're dragging yourself to do those 15 calls or 20 calls and hoping that one call will get you the triple word score in Scrabble, but it doesn't. All you get is a blank. And just when you needed that fillip or that shot of confidence, nothing comes by. And so it compounds the problem. And then you get into a paralysis by analysis kind of a situation. And so all in all, you get caught up in so many thoughts that you are like, on one hand, you don't want to acknowledge where you are because it kind of brings a very vulnerable side to yourself. And on the other hand, running away from it is not helping you either. So acknowledge the reality objectively, write it down, do your own self-analysis. How do you get out of this, right? So you do a progressive analysis. See, the reality of the matter is people have hired you to do 100%, not to do 99%, right? Now, I'm just giving you too extreme an example, but you get the drift, right? People want you to do over and above, not under and beyond, you know? So if that expectation is not met, it's just not that your business is impacted, but it triggers a ripple effect right up to the top of the chain. And you might think, oh, well, I'm this individual contributor sitting in the corner doing something. Or just because I didn't perform, so what will happen to the company? No, there are lots of snowballing effects that happen at a management layer. You have to be very open about it to understand that representing a team favorably is what most supervisors, managers want. No manager wants to say that this is the bad apple in the pond. You know, nobody wants to say, oh, this is the bad apple in the basket. Bad fish in the pond is what I want to say. No. So no manager wants to do that. I mean, I hope no manager wants to do that. unfair to generalize. I'm sure there are those Dhakkan managers who are there. But fair to say, nobody would want to show their teammate, team member in poor light. So give them that benefit of doubt that they want to show you in proper highlight, and give them that ammunition, that vocabulary to showcase you. The only way out is to grind it out with your manager, with your colleagues, and say, hey, I need help. Leave your ego behind. Leave your defenses behind and say, hey, look, I'm going through a phase, and it could be an external distraction. It could be a personal problem, but I have to sort out and keep maintaining my professional life. So I need help. You know, the moment you say this, you will feel relieved. Trust me, you will feel relieved. You feel reluctant and apprehensive before that. But once you do that, it'll come out of your system, right? Because you're sitting in a group of 15 people or 18 people, and you know everybody knows that you are the one, or you or two or three other people are not performing. And very difficult to avoid eye contact, and you kind of snowball. I mean, your mind is snowballing the perception that other people think are thinking about you all the time. As it turns out, not many people think that way. But our mind starts to play tricks on us, and we start to believe that everybody is thinking about me, and they think I'm this worst piece of shit which is letting the team down. That's generally always not the case. Just so don't be too hard on yourself on that point. Be realistic, but then don't be too hard. So once you acknowledge that there is a situation, I need to do something about it, then break it down into micro moments, right? Just keep a weekly thing. It's not like the performance improvement plan thing. It's your own plan before your manager hands down that plan to you. You do that plan yourself and say, showcase, don't hide. In fact, come out in the open. You know, people often tend to go very quiet and go into the background and all. But true champions are the ones who look fear in the eye. They don't shy. They don't try to dodge. They said, hey, yes, I had a bad quarter. Now I'm going to stand up and deliver. And here is how I'm going to do it. And then check back. Let people say, hey, enough of checking back. You did a good job. That's fine. Now move on. Let that be their prerogative. Your prerogative is to showcase that you're doing a good job. Now, that being said, if the first two options didn't work, that of you trying to reinvent the wheel, figuring out if you could make your job interesting, certify yourself, change the region, territory, product, whatever, if that option is not working, if coming out in the open and doing your own plan is not working and the situation is still there, then maybe ask yourself the question that, is it something else that is worrying you? Is it just the job that is boring you? Is it something external? I'd imagine spend some time addressing the root cause of it. Did you really want to do this role? Did you really want to be in this company? If not, what else and where else? And then try and visualize yourself in that role exactly around the same time. What I mean to say, if you're, say, 3 years into your current role and you're absolutely bored, imagine this dream role that you want to be in and fast forward 3 years into that role and see if you can visualize that you would be doing anything different. Yeah, I'm referring to this simply because if you're going to be in a business development sales kind of role, the general underlying sentiment remains the same. There will be a product or service that you need to sell. There will be a seasonality to it. There will be a periodicity to it. What I mean to say in simple terms is there will be a Monday morning forecast call for whichever company that you do. Okay, if it's a Friday call, it's a Friday call, but Monday call, Wednesday call, Thursday call, I don't know. That's not going anywhere. So you've got to make peace with it. And then what do you do about it? Right? So think about that. Yes, there could be a situation, and there are such situations where you are on the right and perhaps your manager is at, perhaps he or she is being unreasonable. And there too could be a broken relationship. There could be broken trust somewhere. Now, if you sense that that relationship is beyond repair, that no matter what you say, do, prove, your manager is not going to listen to you or your ecosystem has already given you enough signs that they've switched off, then it's time that you exit the organization. Right? Don't prolong your misery, their misery, and collective misery. Right? So the point is, in our lives, and I've shared this multiple times, that you will, when you exit your career and you reflect back, you will see that there will be a 5 to 10% bad debt. What I mean is, if you made an investment and of $100 and you got a 90% positive return, that's a fantastic situation to be in. But that 10, so don't rue about that 10% that went wrong, went awry, you're lost, or something wrong happened. There isn't a career that hasn't that quotient of bad debt. Some have more, some have less. But I'm yet to come across people who reflect back on their long careers and say, well, no shit happened in my career. Very few people, right? So move on then very quickly mentally. Remember, separate the role from the identity so that what people are associating is or giving you feedback is on the role that you're doing, not the person who you are. And regroup, take a break, regroup. And then when you join this new job, make sure that you do not fall in or slip into the same predicament that you are, the reason why you got into this sticky situation at the current job. And so you have to be very cognizant, very conscious of it. Why is that? Because it can happen once, but if it starts to happen twice or thrice, then it starts to become a habit. And then it becomes a lifelong thing, becomes a character trait, it becomes a facet of your personality. It's very difficult to change that, because then forever you feel like you're the victim and the world is against you and nobody understands you and so on and so forth. Somewhere, if one finger, you're pointing a finger at somebody, three fingers are pointing at you. So it is important. See how, if you just listen to this episode itself, see, there are so many facets to this simple conversation, that it could be that you're in a bad company with a bad manager, very likely, possible. It could be that you are in a denial phase in a good company. You could be in a denial phase in a bad company. You could be in a desperate phase that there is no other option. And you know that what they're saying is right, but you have to pretend that, you know, you are the victim. There's so many facets to the story, but it all works out eventually. Let me just give you some hope there. You know, it works out. It at the time seems very crowded, but it works out. So if I were to sum up this situation for you, if you're this individual contributor right now in a team of 10 members, if one is the top performer and 10 is the bottom performer, you are at number 9 or 10, then give yourself that time that, hey, I'm going to put myself under a plan in 2 months' time or a month's time, and I'm going to do these 5 activities. And if I don't see any positive trajectory, it's not like you're expecting a complete overhaul, but if you are seeing this positive trajectory to what the organization, team, manager, management demands, if you're not seeing that, then make sure that you actively switch that role and move on to something else. However, if you do see that change, communicate. Let the people know that this is what you're trying to do. Here is how you will do it. Here are the 2 things you need as help. Now, if you're blessed with a situation where your management is supportive, where they want you to succeed, then they will partner with you to come out of the story. But the thing is, if they ask you to then go on a plan, then don't be defensive about it, because they're saying, well, it has to have a consequence, right? It cannot be, plan is only a last step. It's not that the first time that you failed, people said, go into a plan. It's not like that, right? So you have to understand both sides of the story. So as a salesperson, you will need to get sales tough. That's how I would sum it up. This is the time to toughen up. Remind yourself, this is the role that is being assessed, not you. And it's no guarantee that if you've not done well in one role, that you won't do well at the other. But oftentimes, it might redirect you into something very positive, into something really wonderful and very successful. So that hope is always there. But let that not be an escape route. And that's differentiating, that is exceedingly tough, I admit. But let that alternative choice not be like as a result or as an outcome of an escape route. Oh, this is not working here. Let me see if I can jump ship and go somewhere. All right. So that should give you some food for thought if you are that performer. Now, let's switch to the manager's version. So what do managers do? What do supervisors do? You have a person who's non-performing for the last 2 months, 3 months, two quarters, whatever. Now you're in a situation that you've got to manage this resource. What are the two or three things that you try and do? Let's find out. So the first thing you do as a manager is to ask yourself, what would you have done differently if you were in that rep's position? What are the five things that you've done differently? And don't be superlative about it, as in superficial about it. Be real about it. This is not information that you're sharing with anybody. You're not sharing this with your manager. You're not sharing this with your management. You're not reporting this to HR. A first assessment, honest, hand-to-heart assessment. What is it that you could have done differently? And there are times when the answer would be, oh, I would have done these five things. Why doesn't this person do these basics? The person is missing out on doing these basics. Right. So be cautious about that assessment, because what no two people are the same, right? So how you react to a situation is not necessarily how your teammate is or your employees responding is able to respond the same way. So then you have to somewhere make this difficult task of understanding where their mind is and see what could have they done differently when they're thinking like the way they are. I don't know if this is sounding a little bit of mumbo jumbo. All I'm saying is, can you mirror their thought process? And why can you do that? Because you've been with them for a while. You've been managing them. It's not like you put someone in a plan when you just know them for a month. You've been with them for a while. You've seen them through good times, difficult times, how they have reacted, performed, how they present themselves in a team meeting, in an engagement scenario, those kind of things, right? So you have generally created a profile in your mind, and it's not to be used negatively. You know, I know some might think, is it, are we stereotyping someone? No, you're not stereotyping. You are assessing a person for their ability to execute the role as they signed up, as you signed up. The hard look at it is this: if they are bringing your team down, if they are bringing you down, is that worth it? So the big first question you need to answer is there something within this person's control that can be done for them to come back on track? If the answer is yes, why are they not doing it? Is there anything that you can do to make that happen? If the answer is no, then you know it's not a skill issue, it's a will issue. And then the question is, do you really want to spend that kind of bandwidth to turn around or develop somebody's will in the way that you want to? Is it even possible? If the person themselves are not motivated, what is it that it can do? Do you have that time available? Most often, you won't. And so you have to be very realistic about it. You can tell them, you can share them somewhere. If you don't see the attitude, if you don't see the honors coming from them, you know, a great positive attitude that strong, secure reps have is, look, I have tried a couple of things. It's not working. The deals have slipped. Something or the other keeps coming back and it's happening a little too frequently. Is there a way you can help me? Someone saying that versus someone saying, oh, I've got a lot of deals lined up. If this doesn't come, that'll come. And I'm already doing good. Look at other people. You are saying you're just picking on me. And so that's a different defensive mindset. So as a people manager, you first figure out, is there something that you can do? If you can, then do not leave that stone unturned. Whatever it is, it could be career counseling. It could be just have a heart-to-heart. Go have a meal with them. Say, let's get out of the office. Sit down peacefully and tell me. I'll dedicate some time for you. Tell me what's wrong. See if I can. And if I can't be of help, I'll tell you I can't be of help. But at least you provided that platform for them to share their point of view. Alternatively, if you see that they have a complete assumption on things and they are headed in a very wrong direction to where you want to lead the team or where the company wants to lead the team. It's very important that you share that vision, that realignment, that recalibration as objectively, as plainly, without any sarcasm, without any accusations, without any rhetorical question. Just put it simply, like, this is what it is. So a classical thing is, you need to meet your forecast. We are in a business where we are measured on a monthly basis. Yes, we have a quarterly forecast, but we are measured on a monthly basis. We are accountable to it. Missing our monthly forecasts is difficult. Business decisions to keep supporting. And the reason being that once you miss it, catching up puts a lot of pressure on the system. To give you a classic example, say, think you're in a volume business and your target is, say, $400,000 a month. Divide that by 4 weeks, that's 100K per week. Divide that by 5 days, that's 20K per day. Divide that by, say, average deal size of 4K or 5K. So you're looking at about 5 or 6 deals, right? So if you miss the Monday, then there is no catching up on the Tuesday, isn't it? Because then that 5 plus 5 will become 10. So anyways, you're struggling to get to 5. Then how do you propose to get to 20? Or you propose to get to 10? It doubles, right? And so then the pressure happens that you are searching for this magic deal, this big deal to pull you through. Now, you and I both know that the big deals are few and far and there are too many moving parts. And usually, a smart salesperson will never base their forecast basis this large swing deal or skew deal, non-standard deal. What do I mean by that? If your average deal size has been 10K and you suddenly get a 50K deal, that's a non-standard deal. If you hinge your business that once this 50K deal comes in, I'll catch up on all the previous misses and everything, more often than not, that magic never happens. Believe it or not, some random shit happens. You know, the CIO went away, there was a cousin's wedding, the internet didn't work, some problem. I've heard some of the most outrageous things happen last day of the quarter when the big deal is supposed to come and it doesn't. All right. So the thing is, you have to see if your employee, if your teammate is continually searching for this large deal and not ensuring this run rate. So on a day-to-day basis, is the activity levels up or not? Is the intent, is the attitude right there or not? And work on that. I think the deeper question you need to ask is, do you want to invest in this resource or do you want to let them go? I mean, that's a loaded and long question, but think about it. If at the root of it, you want to retain them, then give them that chance and then figure out a strategy how you will give them that air cover while they are underperforming. And it is a tricky thing if you run a smaller team in a smaller unit where everybody is visible and everybody knows what the other person is doing. So you're taking on a risk element for your own self. So are you ready for it? Are you equipped for it? As one of the prerequisites of being a people manager is that you cannot get insecure about your team, right? That means you're not ready to be a manager, to be fair. But your job is to navigate, is to guide, is to anticipate hurdles, roadblocks, curveballs, non-performance, and yet land your forecast and yet land your goal or your deadline. How do you anticipate that? These are part of your reflections. Are you spending enough time assessing your team? Not just how many deals have you done? You know, one of the classic mistakes many sales leaders do, they reduce their job to becoming a collections agent. Kitna lai ho? Like, how much revenue have you bought? How much numbers are you getting this week? Oh, we have to do more. Oh, push yourself. Okay. And it becomes such a farcical conversation. It's like you're treating mature adults as kids. Like, why do you want to treat them as kids? Everybody knows what they signed up for. The goals are clear. The path is clear. why is it that you need to periodically remind people to do the basics? And once that tradition is set, breaking out of it is increasingly difficult. Everybody's used to it. So the point being, if you don't say it and say, okay, if you miss your forecast even once, I'm going to document it and send a stinker out your way, then you risk a team being very upset with you because they're so used to being mollycoddled. They're so used to being cradled and handled with kid gloves. Now you got to stand up and be sales tough, but yet you cannot be so tough that the team stops responding and thinks of you as this extortion machine or mechanism that's the only engagement. So it's very tough for a manager to manage a team, not just when the delivery is not happening, as in commits and numbers are not happening, but also ensure that the other 360 degree facets happen simultaneously. And that's for some of you aspirational managers out there. You might just think, well, all I've got to do is write some reports and go around taking forecast calls and report it upwards. That's all there is to it. It isn't. It absolutely isn't. So you have a bottom performer. You have to measure that performance objectively. You have to give yourself this fuzzy logic, this gut feel you have to develop over a period of time, where is it worth spending time with this person? He or she will turn around. Or do you think, no, it's not worth my time and attention no matter what I do? And you have to be very careful while you come to this conclusion, because all people across any team will have their ups and downs, including yourself. So go back to the time when you were not doing well, and I'm sure there must have been more than one occasion. How did your manager handle you? And if you had a bad experience, for example, would you then pass on the same thing when you are in a position of power to your team? I'm guessing not, right? You would want to not repeat what was wrongly done to you. And so if that is one school of thought, you also have to be very careful to not be in denial. The signs are obvious and you're ignoring it is being in denial. It's the definition of being denial. The signs are obvious, screaming at your face. The data is screaming in your face. It's not an exception. It's a trend that is happening over a period of time. And you've done what you could and provided the platform and the hearing opportunity, I mean, including but not limited to taking the person out and having a heart-to-heart chat saying, hey, can we revisit this, or do you think we should part ways amicably? Every time, everything need not spiral into anger, accusation, sarcasm, those kind of things, right? Why can't we have a mature adult conversation saying, look, we tried, it's not working. Can I help you transition? There's nothing wrong with helping someone in their career when one part of their career is not working out. It's not like you're being unfaithful or betraying your own company. You're trying to help a fellow professional who probably tried their best but is not able to crack the code here. Maybe they'll be able to do somewhere better. So I don't know. There are maturity level differences at either end. The other person might say, hey, are you trying to tell me that I can't get a job by myself? Of course I can. I'm qualified. I've got experience. Like, who the hell are you? Yeah, I know those kind of things happen. So very, very tricky. It's very case to case basis. But I would probably have the humanity or humaneness always kept. Please do not abandon, even if the employee is in an agitated state of mind or angry or accusatory or even sarcastic or combative. You don't lose it because you are the manager, you are the leader. And so somewhere it is important that you take the higher ground, metaphorically speaking, literally speaking, that you let the person speak their heart out and then see when they calm down, then reason with them that is there something that you can do to help? And then be firm about your decision. And be absolutely firm about your decision. Of course, that thought might cross your mind that one more opportunity and then the person might just turn around and I might not have to then regret letting somebody go. I leave that decision to you, but it's never a one-point decision. that it's not like an impulsive decision that you do. It's somebody's life, it's somebody's career, and they might not know or realize or take it as seriously, but you should do that very seriously. Also remind yourself that this is the same person you hired, or you and the team hired, after crossing 6 rounds of interviews or 5 rounds of presentations and getting them to talk to, you know, 10 people in the organization. So what's changed? Right? What has changed? Did the system fail them? Did the situation, was it your inability to relate to them? Could that be the case? So there are multiple things to think about, but you have a business to run. Remind yourself, you signed up for a role, you have a business to run. No point in being in denial, yet you have to be compassionate and see that the dignity of this engagement is not lost. Never, no matter what the situation, do not lose the dignity. Do not embarrass the person. Do not humiliate this person. Have a peaceful conversation. And this is, it might test your patience, but so be it. Right. That's it. So that's both sides of the story, the employee side, the manager side. I'm sure it should have given you some things to think about. And let me know if some of you people managers out there face a similar situation, or if you are an individual contributor, leave me a comment saying, oh my God, I never thought about this, and I have a better understanding of my manager now. I was generally being difficult to them. I'll stop being difficult. Or if you are that supervisor who has been very difficult with an employee who's trying real hard, then maybe leave a message to me that, look, I'm going to give it a try. I'm going to be a little more compassionate and remind myself that I too was an individual contributor someday. I also went through a bad patch and then I came out of it. With that, I'll leave you with that. Think about it. If you're so kind, leave a review about this content on Apple Podcasts. It really helps. Better still, repost this on LinkedIn. You know where you can reach me as www.bustalk.in. You can reach me on X, which is Ayanisms. That's hashtag AAYANISMS. Or you can get in touch with me on LinkedIn, which is IN/IanBan. That's IN for India / AAYANBAN, IanBan. So if you type that on the LinkedIn URL, it should get you to my profile. Send me an invite with the note that, hey, I am a bus talker. And I'd love to be part of it. I also have a WhatsApp group. So if you're so keen and you're a follower, then let me know if you're comfortable sharing your phone number. I will add you to the group on WhatsApp and on Telegram as well. And so that some of this content will come up to you upfront. Well, that's a wrap for this episode. I hope you had a good time listening to it as much as I had sharing it with you. It actually took me back many years. I went through my journey as an individual contributor and as a supervisor, as a growing supervisor, early people manager, mid-level manager, frontline manager to a senior leader. And it's been a journey all throughout. It's been a learning curve all throughout. As it continues, every time you come across new situations, new angles, the basic tenets remain the same, but framework changes. In the next episode, though, I am going to talk about winning. How do you create a winning sales culture? Man, that sounds a bit cheesy. Winning sales culture. You know, did I just come here to play golf? No, I wanted to win. Anyway, I'll not give you too much into it, but I promise to not make it cheesy and corny. I promise to make it thought worthy. And so when we reconnect next week, I will come to you with a new episode of Bus Talk. Till then, keep listening, keep sharing. Keep sharing this to those who care to listen to similar slow burn solo podcasts largely. And I will soon get in touch with you again. This is your host, Ayan, and you are listening to Bus Talk.